At the beginning of 1942, the Pacific seemed to tilt violently toward Japan. Only weeks earlier, the attack on Pearl Harbor had stunned the United States, damaged much of the American battleship force in Hawaii, and announced that the war in Asia had become a war across the world's largest ocean. Yet Pearl Harbor was only one part of a far larger Japanese offensive. In the space of a few months, Japanese forces swept across thousands of miles, striking Malaya, Singapore, the Philippines, Guam, Wake Island, Hong Kong, Borneo, New Guinea, and the Dutch East Indies. To many observers, Japan appeared unstoppable. Its army moved through jungles and colonial territories with unexpected speed. Its navy ranged across the Pacific with confidence. Its aircraft seemed to appear suddenly over harbors, airfields, and troop columns, leaving destruction behind before vanishing back into the sky. The scale of the Japanese advance was breathtaking. Japan was not merely attempting to win battles, it was attempting to reorder Asia and the Pacific. Its leaders believed that the great Western empires, Britain, the Netherlands, France, and the United States, had grown weak, distracted, and vulnerable. With Germany dominating much of Europe and Britain fighting for survival, Japanese planners saw an opportunity to seize the resource-rich territories of Southeast Asia and build a defensive perimeter so broad that any Allied counterattack would be extremely difficult. In Japanese propaganda, this expansion was presented as the liberation of Asia from Western colonialism. In practice, however, Japanese occupation often replaced one imperial power with another, bringing military rule, forced labor, violence, hunger, and fear to millions of people. To understand the Japanese advance across the Pacific, it is important to recognize the strategic crisis Japan believed it faced before the war began. Japan had been at war in China since 1937, and the conflict consumed enormous quantities of fuel, steel, rubber, and other materials. Japan's home islands lacked many of the natural resources needed to sustain a modern industrial war. The United States, alarmed by Japanese expansion in China and Indochina, responded with economic pressure, including restrictions on oil exports. For Japanese leaders, especially within the Army and Navy, the American oil embargo seemed like a threat to national survival. Without access to oil, Japan's ships, aircraft, and factories would eventually grind to a halt. Therefore, they concluded that the empire had to strike southward toward the oil fields of the Dutch East Indies, now Indonesia, and seize them before Japan's reserves ran out. This decision created a dangerous problem. The oil fields of Southeast Asia lay behind a chain of Western-controlled bases and colonial territories. To reach them, Japan would have to neutralize or conquer British Malaya, Singapore, the American-held Philippines, the Dutch East Indies, and a variety of island outposts that could threaten Japanese shipping lanes. The attack on Pearl Harbor was designed to prevent the U.S. Pacific Fleet from interfering while Japan completed this southern offensive. At the same time, attacks against British and Dutch possessions were meant to shatter Allied defenses before they could coordinate a response. The Japanese plan required speed, surprise, and coordination across vast distances. In the opening months of the war, it achieved all three. The first wave of Japan's Pacific offensive began almost simultaneously with Pearl Harbor. On December 8, 1941, because of the international dateline, Japanese troops landed in Malaya just hours after bombs fell in Hawaii. British commanders had long believed that Singapore was the key to imperial defense in East Asia. Known as the Gibraltar of the East, Singapore possessed a great naval base and was widely regarded as one of the strongest fortresses in the world. Yet its strength was deceptive. The great coastal guns of Singapore were largely positioned to defend against attack from the sea, while the Japanese came from the north, moving down the Malayan Peninsula through jungle, rubber plantations, and roads that British planners had underestimated as invasion routes.